Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, which begins, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And so we begin. There is a difference between the temptations as reported in Matthew and the temptations as reported in Luke. But on the surface, it looks like they're different in order. So Matthew's has, number one, turning stone to bread and filling the need of his hunger. Number two, jumping from the pinnacle of the temple and testing the angels. Number three, the devil asks them to fall down and worship him. At which point Jesus says, "Begone, Satan," and the devil left him. On the surface, Luke seems to simply reverse the order of the second and the third, but there is much more going on. And that's why I read the first verse here. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Which tells us that the devil didn't wait until the 40 days were ended to begin the tempting, did he? 40 days of being tempted. So take one temptation, and that is the stone to bread, and it's the temptation that deals with hunger. And so he was not hungry until after 40 days? Was he hungry at 20 days? How long would it take you to be hungry? 6 hours. Okay. So, what this then teaches us is something about temptation that the devil picks at and picks at and picks at, and he badgers and badgers and nags and lures and tries to deceive all the way through. He comes at you from this direction, that from that direction, and on it goes. And this fits our experience, because is there anybody here who has only been tempted once by a certain thing? And when you answered that temptation one time, it never, ever, ever came back? That's not how it works, is it? So you struggle with the same things over and over again, and as soon as you think you got it handled, here it comes from a different angle. That's what temptation is. And Jesus then faces that temptation. And did you notice the last verse that says, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. He was not done. And Jesus faced that. As part of his being human is to face those temptations, and as often as they come along, to face them. So, actually, then it calls into question, and the question is this: could Jesus actually be tempted? Like back in seminary, somebody explained it this way. Was it just a show, a little play that was being acted out? Or was there real danger? And if he fell into the temptation, that all would be lost? Salvation for us would be gone, and the Trinity would be torn apart, and the second person of the Trinity would be lost forever? How could that happen? How could God do that? And the professor that explained this, he then goes on to explain it more. He says, well, on the one hand, and when he says that, you know you're in for about 15 minutes, right? So, but there is. On the one hand, James says, God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. And that heads right into the confirmation question, why? Why can God not be tempted? And there's an answer to that. What does he not have that you're going to tempt him with? Well, he has everything in the universe. It all belongs to him, right? So what are you going to offer him to lure him? And the second way you can get somebody with temptation is you offer that they can be doing something more fun, pleasurable than what they're having to do right now. But actually, God is doing exactly what he wants to do. How are you going to tell him that he should not be doing the whole business of creating life, having a universe, giving blessings, forgiving sins, giving eternal life? It's what he loves to do. So you can't tempt him with anything else, can you? On the other hand, Hebrews 4:15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. So 40 days out there in the wilderness, what did Jesus not have? Bread, food. And so that's the opening point, something that he is doing without. And as our human brother, he faces it, he bears it. Look back, look forward. Adam and Eve, they're sitting in the garden. Jesus, out in the wilderness. Adam and Eve, they got all the trees of the garden and every good thing to eat except for one. Jesus, nothing out there. Adam and Eve, every blessing promised to them. Jesus, what lies ahead? It's a cross. And Jesus has to bear up under the temptations where Adam and Eve, in that little luxury they had, failed. Bottom line on temptation is, will you believe the words and promises of God no matter what? And in the no matter what, that's the measure of the temptation. So again, Adam and Eve, no matter what for them was, will you believe the words and promises of God no matter if he tells you, oh, there's one tree, don't eat that tree. Don't eat from that tree. That's a tiny little no matter what. Jesus, will you hold to the words and promises of God no matter if the words and promises of God promise you that there will be a time when you will say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there will be nails through your hands and feet and people spitting at you. And the Father turning away. And the description of how you feel on that day will be, all my bones are out of joint. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust. Will you hold to the words and promises of God no matter what when it reaches that point? And then a glance ahead in the sermon, what is our no matter what? We don't have the big one to deal with. We have fairly small no matter what's in our lives. But before we get to there, Jesus and his answering the temptations. As the devil keeps badgering. First one, stone to bread. To claim the right to have food. But for Jesus, trust the words and promises of God. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. And he will hold to that third day of fasting, fifth day of fasting, 10th day of fasting, 20th, 30th, 40th day of fasting, holding on to the words and promises of God. And if God will supply the bread, I will have the bread. And if he will withhold it, then I will simply continue on in prayer. And he has to be single-minded and very focused in order to do that, to take the things that are spiritual and put them ahead of the physical needs. And he does. Second temptation. All the kingdoms of the world, see, wealth, fame, power, greatness, pleasure, and more, just bow down to that guy. Now you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. And there is no other way around this. There has to be a cross. You can't claim the glory by jumping off, having the angels bring you safely to the ground and having everybody say, oh, this must be the Messiah, let's follow him. No, you have to go to the cross. You have to take the Pharisees' abuse, the teachers of the law, talking against you and behind your back and calling you all kinds of names. You have to face the abuse and be arrested and be asked if you're the Messiah, and if you tell the truth, they will kill you. And you have to be faithful in all those parts. The temptation also is to claim the higher place. But Jesus is the one who, though he existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in human appearance, he humbled himself and became obedient unto what? Unto death, even death on a cross. And it is from that obedience, from that faithfully following and holding to the words and promises of God, that then Jesus takes the words and promises of God and says, they are faithful and you can have them to guide you through your life and through your temptations, the words and promises of God, without the part of, because he took that part of the cross. But simply all of the blessings and all of the promises that he gives to us. What is the no matter what? Third temptation. Temptation to force the hand of the angels. Do the miracle. Third temptation according to Luke. It's actually kind of funny how it comes about. Because the devil as he is in the habit of doing, pulls things out of context. And it's in the psalm that we did earlier. Verses 11 and 12 are what the devil quotes. Before it, there is verse 9, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. Ah. And after it is a verse that he just does not want to read, does not want to recite to Jesus. The verse after what the devil quotes reads like this: you will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Let's ignore that part, the devil figures. Jesus knows it perfectly well, but he doesn't go there. He doesn't claim a verse of power. He claims a verse of humility. The verse of humility: it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And the one who spoke the word of God at the beginning of the world, who said, let there be light, and there was light, who spoke the word of God and spoke it through the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the prophets, who writes all of these promises, who is above the word of God, giving the word of God and speaking the word of God, he will take his stand below the word of God and be obedient to the word of God, taking the humble place. It's quite remarkable what he does. Because he could have done several other things. You should not put the Lord your God to the test. Simply trust the words and promises of God, no matter what. No matter what the question is, no matter what the test is, no matter what the situation around you is, trusting the words and promises of God, no matter what. What are our no matter whats? Changing the clock 1 hour ahead so it's a little bit harder to get up for church. Emotions, feelings, turmoil, stuff that happens in our lives. And when stuff happens in our lives, you know, I've seen several listing of Bible verses for different problems. It's like the Bible is God's collection of promises to us, so that no matter what we face, he's there waiting to deal with the promise. With the problems. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And because he went through that, because he faced the temptation, when I am tempted, I can go to him. And when I come and say, Lord, I'm tempted. Lord, I'm having trouble with this. Then there is Jesus. Let me paint the picture. He's not up there in heaven sitting there saying, what? That's very strange. Never heard of such a thing. He's there hearing the prayer saying, yeah, I know. I know. Tempted by food? 40 days. Yeah, I know. Tempted by wealth and good things? Yeah, I know. That other guy, he held those out. He dangled them in front of me too. I know how that is. I know it can be hard. Tempted by, I want my rights and I am entitled to things. Yeah, I know. I had to turn away from doing this one miracle that would have done it all and plod my way through 3 years, 3 years knowing there was a cross waiting. I know how hard it is. And then he shares promises with us. It's heaven, eternal life. There's our relationship with him. There is knowing that God walks by our side every day in every situation. And there is knowing that the one who walks by our side, he's one of us. He's my brother who decided not to save from a distance. He decided to save real close up, bearing the weaknesses of this mortal nature, bearing the temptations, facing the problems, going through them. And now he's the one that leads. Promises that at the end, he has something amazing. And so we turn to him. We turn to him a whole lot. In Jesus' name, amen.